Hello. Hello to you in Washington, D.C. Hello, everyone. And thank you, everyone, for joining me tonight. So, tonight's workshop is overcoming trauma, PTSD, and CPTSD. We're going to look at natural ways that you can feel better. So the agenda, we're going to talk about what PTSD is. We're going to talk about the symptoms of PTSD. We're going to talk about what we needed as children. And then we're going to talk about CPTSD, the symptoms of CPTSD. We're going to talk about the limbic system and ways that you can start to re-regulate your limbic system. We might cover a little bit about phobias, how phobias are created, and then we're going to talk about techniques to help with PTSD and CPTSD. I'm going to talk about what you can do next. And on the 26th of March, this coming Saturday, I have a program starting, which I'll be telling you a little bit about. And then we'll do a guided meditation, short guided meditation session to end. So, what is PTSD? So, PTSD stands for post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's a condition that's triggered by a terrifying or life-threatening event. Either experiencing it or witnessing it. And symptoms may include flashbacks, nightmares, severe anxiety, as well as uncontrollable thoughts about the event. Most people who go through traumatic events may have temporary difficulty adjusting and coping, but with time and good self-care, they're usually able to get better. But in some cases, the symptoms get worse, last for months or even years, and they interfere with your day-to-day functioning. And if this happens, you may have PTSD. And the source of that information is the mayoclinic.org. So the symptoms of PTSD are going to be intrusive memories, anxiety, avoidance, memory loss, feeling emotionally numb. It may cause relationship issues, may cause insomnia, bad dreams, lack of focus, and toxic shame. It's going to create maybe feelings of guilt or shame about the event. So, how hypnosis can help people who are suffering from PTSD? So, the more we take time to relax, the easier it becomes to relax. So, the more often that you set aside time each day to relax, maybe meditation, the better your overall level of relaxation is going to be. The more your anxiety levels are going to reduce. And relaxation increases emotional. Sorry, reduces emotional intensity, which increases the ability to learn and envisage different scenarios. So, when you're in the fight or flight response, you're going to be focused on, avoiding danger, avoiding threats. You're not going to be focused on learning new things. And this is going to create brain fog. It's going to create difficulty remembering things. And memories aren't fixed. They're changed. We change a memory every time we access it. Our memories are altered based on the emotional state we're in when we recall them. So if we recall a memory when we're, you know, angry or scared, we're going to remember the event as being more, maybe more traumatic than it was. When we are feeling calm and relaxed, we're going to be able to maybe take a detached view of the event. We're going to be able to view it in a more relaxed way. And the context in which we recall the memories and how they are recalled. If you recall a memory with strong negative emotions, and the more you recall a memory with strong negative emotions, the more it's going to reinforce those emotions. The more you recall a memory in a relaxed state, the weaker the emotions related to that memory will become. And using hypnosis, we can start to desensitize the memories. So when you experience a traumatic event, it's going to have a heavy emotional charge. You're going to want to remember that event so that you can avoid dangerous situations like that in the past. You know, if you are if you're walking through the jungle and you hear a rustle in the bushes and you go and have a look and it's a tiger and you somehow manage to escape, you're going to want to remember that next time you're in the jungle, you hear a rustle in the bushes, you're going to want to remember that so you don't decide to go and have a look. So by reducing the emotional charge on those memories, we can move them from the emotional part of the brain to the hippocampus, the thinking part of the brain, and they can be processed as normal memories. And using hypnosis, we can desensitize memories without actually having to relive them. So when a client comes to me with, you know, PTSD, they don't even need to tell me what the event was. They don't need to recall the event. I can desensitize their memory of that event without them reliving it, without them recalling all the details of it. So if you want to know more about hypnosis and hypnotherapy for PTSD, you can book a call with me via my website. The address is currently on the screen. I'll be sharing that link with you in the chat box shortly. So some people, when they experience traumatic events, they're able to, as I said previously, they're able to process the event and move on. Others develop PTSD. And one theory for this, one potential reason for this, is because there's no PTSD without CPTSD. So if a child grows up with good enough parents, they're going to be equipped to deal with trauma and deal with bad memories and bad events without developing PTSD. If they don't grow up with good enough parents, and that's around 80% of people, and we say good enough parents because no one's perfect. Everyone, you know, has issues. But a good enough parent is going to be able to give the child unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. They're going to be patient with the child. You know, a very small child, a baby, is looking to the parent to help them co-regulate their emotions. So if you know, if you've got children yourselves, you probably know that if the baby's crying and you're getting anxious and wound up, the baby's going to become more anxious and wound up. So the baby is going to be looking to the parent to help them co-regulate their emotions. They're going to be dependable. The baby's going to know that they're going to be able to get their needs met. A good enough parent is going to have self-respect. They're going to be emotionally stable. They're going to have their own sense of individuality. Again, as children, we were a we before we became an I. So a child, a baby, sees everything as themselves pushed out, and they don't start to be able to differentiate themselves from the outside world and from their parents until they reach about 1.5 years. And, you know, that process continues up until about 3, when they're able to develop their own sense of identity. So a parent is going to need to, as I said, be emotionally stable, have their own sense of individuality. They're going to have an internal locus of control. So they're going to be able to take responsibility for themselves and for their actions. So if you don't grow up with these things, and as I said, it's about 80% of people who don't have good enough parents, you're going to have issues regulating your emotions. You're going to have issues dealing with stress and traumatic events once you become an adult. And you may develop CPTSD. And CPTSD is complex post-traumatic stress disorder. It's generally suffered by prisoners of war and children who grow up with dysfunctional families. So for CPTSD to develop, it needs to be ongoing and repeated trauma from which there's no escape, and a reliance on your caregivers. And it can be caused by neglect, physical, mental, and emotional abuse. And as I said previously, you know, a child is looking to their parents to help them understand the world, to help them co-regulate their emotions. And to a child, you know, the parents are like God. If those parents are putting the child down or abusing the child in some way, child's going to internalize that. They're going to grow up feeling like there's something wrong with them. They're going to have, you know, a constant underlying sense of anxiety. And they're going to have all kinds of insecurities, which will then be triggered and, you know, bring up toxic shame. So the symptoms of complex PTSD are anxiety, acting out or acting in. Acting out is when we become narcissistic and abusive. Acting in could be alcoholism, self-harm, eating disorders, even emotional eating. Food is the most common substance that people use to try and suppress their emotions. You're going to have a constant feeling of unease. You may become codependent or a people pleaser, so you're going to put other people's needs before your own. You may have low self-esteem, low confidence. You're going to constantly put yourself down. You may avoid relationships, have difficulty connecting with people. You're going to suffer emotional flashbacks, and you may experience dissociation. So emotional flashbacks with PTSD, there's flashbacks, which involve basically something which matches the pattern of the original trauma, makes you regress back and, you know, relive the traumatizing event. With emotional flashbacks, because, as I said, the child may have internalized the abuse, created toxic shame. When things happen that remind them of that event, or, you know, things happen that bring up emotions related to that event, they are going to act out, or, you know, they're going to go into a state of extreme anxiety. The theory on emotional flashbacks, one theory on emotional flashbacks, is that we're all born with equal access to the fight, flight, and freeze response. And the fight response enables us to defend our boundaries, to fight back. The flight response enables us to, you know, run away. Freeze response, we all go into when we are presented with a traumatic situation, with a dangerous situation. It enables us to weigh things up. The brain releases opioids and, you know, adrenaline and things to help us cope with what may be coming. And then a man called Pete Walker, who wrote a book called CPTSD, From Surviving to Thriving, came up with the theory of the fawn response. And he said that a small child can't fight back. They can't run away. Freezing isn't going to do them much good. So they're going to fawn. They're going to put other people's needs before their own. They're going to learn to serve their parents. And he said that depending on, you know, the age and the type of trauma that's experienced, you're going to overdevelop one of these responses. And then, as I said, dissociation. Again, a very small child may use dissociation as a way to escape further trauma. So how many CPTSD symptoms do you have? Let me know your answers in the chat box. If anyone has any questions with anything I've covered so far, let me know in the chat box as well. Symptoms do you have? Let me... Ooh. All of them, all but two, half. Okay, thank you, everyone, for your answers. Do you have any questions with regards to anything I've covered so far? Okay, super. Okay, so when we experience trauma, the thinking part of the brain actually shrinks and the emotional part of the brain becomes larger. So as I said previously, when we experience trauma, we may develop brain fog. We may forget words, become more irrational, more emotional. Our ability to learn new things is going to become decreased. So to start to heal trauma, we need to re-regulate the limbic system. Just checking your comments. So the limbic system supports a variety of functions, including emotion, behavior, long-term memory, olfaction, which is the sense of taste and smell, and emotional life is largely housed in the limbic system. It critically aids the formation of memories. As I said previously, if you are presented with a dangerous and traumatic situation, you wanna give that memory lots of emotional charge so that you can avoid that dangerous situation in the future. And the limbic system is involved in lower order emotional processing of input from sensory systems, and it consists of the amygdaloid nuclear complex. And the source of that information is Wikipedia. So information is processed by the limbic part of the brain before it's processed by the neocortex, the thinking part of the brain. And the limbic part of the brain, to the limbic part of the brain, time is meaningless. So the limbic part of your brain can't tell the difference between something that happened yesterday, something that happened 20 years ago. So to start to stop flashbacks and emotional dysregulation, we need to re-regulate the limbic system. So to heal trauma, we need to regulate the limbic system, as I said. So we can do this by regularly taking time to relax, by taking time every day to listen to hypnosis recordings or to meditate, to practice mindfulness, to spend time walking. And there's some breathing exercises which are very, effective at bringing us back into the present moment. They are box breathing. And if you've heard of box breathing before, let me know in the chat box. If you'd like me to give you a demonstration of box breathing, let me know in the chat box. What is it? Who else would like a demonstration of box breathing? Yes. Okay. Okay, so when we do any breathing exercise, we want to breathe all the way down into our stomach. We want notice our belly rising as we're breathing in and falling as we breathe out. And it's said that we all breathe into our stomach naturally as children, but for some reason, when we start school, we lose the ability to do this. So it's called diaphragmatic breathing. So what we do, we take a deep breath in, count into five. So breathing in for five, and then we hold the breath for five. We breathe out for five, and then we hold the space between breaths for five. So our breathing takes the shape of a box. So if you would like to try that now, breathing in for five, holding your breath for five, breathing out for five, and then holding the space between breaths for five. We're just trying that now. Breathing in for five, holding your breath for five, breathing out for five, holding the space, not breathing for five. If you find that relaxing, let me know in the chat box. Excellent. Something I should have done before showing you that exercise, I should have told you to take a SUD score. SUD stands for significant or subjective unit of distress. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being really relaxed and 10 being really, really stressed or anxious, what would you rate yourself as now? So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being really relaxed, 10 being really anxious, what would you rate yourself as now? Let me know in the chat box. Five, six, two, that's nice and relaxed. You're a 9, it's really high. Excellent, now you're a 5, that's fantastic. Okay. And the next exercise is called 7-11 breathing. So 7-11 breathing, again, we want to be breathing all the way down into the stomach. And breathing in for the count of 7, breathing out for the count of 11. And the theory on why this works is because you're elongating the out breath. You're making the out breath longer than the in breath. And if you were actually in a state of danger, you wouldn't be breathing out for longer than you're breathing in. So by doing that, you're telling your unconscious mind that it's safe. So if you'd like to try that now, breathing in for the count of 7 and then breathing out for 11. For some people have difficulty breathing in for the count of 7. Maybe they have lung issues or, something like that. So what you can do is reduce the number down. You can breathe in for the count of 5 and breathe out for the count of 9. You could also increase it, maybe breathing in for 9, breathing out for 13. The same with box breathing. As your lung capacity increases, you can increase the number. Yep. As I said, if you have trouble with breathing, you can reduce the numbers down. If you find 7-11 breathing relaxing, let me know in the chat box. Thank you, Johnny. Excellent. You prefer 7-11 breathing? Thank you, Mike. Excellent. Thank you, Gareth. Okay. And then going back, EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, and it works on the principle of qi energy. So the Chinese believe in qi energy. They believe if you have blocked energy anywhere in the body, it creates bad feeling. So EFT relies on tapping various meridian points around the body. And EFT, I'm not going to show you the whole EFT sequence. If you, you know, look it up on YouTube, you'll find lots of EFT videos. But I will show you something. What many people, when they are, you know, stressed or anxious, they find it very hard to focus on their breath. So what you can do, you can, on the side of the hand is one meridian point, you know, like where you'd, your hand would be if you were going to karate chop something. On the side of the hand there, you can just rub that. And rubbing that point, you should find yourself relaxed. Also, the tendons between the little finger and the ring finger, just in between the tendons there, that's called the gamut point. And if you touch that, you should feel it's a little bit tender, a little bit sore. And again, you can rub that. You should feel that helping you to relax. Something else you can do. Either side of your thumbnail, you can squeeze either side of your thumbnail and squeeze there for 1 minute. I'm not going to do that for a whole minute, but squeeze there for a whole minute and then squeeze the top of your thumbnail as hard as you want, Johnny. Obviously not too hard. You don't want to try and hurt yourself, but you know, as pressure so that you can feel it. You can also take your thumb, place it in your hand. That's very calming. And the index finger, place it in the hand, is also very calming. Thank you, Tina. So, as I said, take time every day to become more mindful. Maybe regularly have a walk or practice meditation, hypnosis, qigong, yoga, go for a massage, all these things can help. You also want to reconnect with your emotions. So, you know, many people, when they feel anxious, they try and fight it. They try and, you know, stop the anxious feelings. When they have negative thoughts, they try and block the negative thoughts, try and think of other things. What resists persists. So the more you try and fight an emotion or a negative thought, the more you label it as bad, something you don't want, the stronger it's going to become. So by practicing meditation, you start to see yourself as separate from your emotions and your thoughts, and you're able to not be controlled by them. And no emotion is good or bad. All emotions have a purpose. You know, anxiety is part of the fight or flight response. Its purpose is to keep us safe. Depressed feelings, they can alert us to, you know, things that when we need to make adjustments in our life, things that we need to change. So no emotion is either good or bad. They all have a purpose. It's okay to feel them. Okay, and complex trauma. So to heal complex trauma, we need to give our inner child self-love, self-acceptance. So to do this, we need to make them feel loved and accepted. We need to make them feel safe and secure. And some things you can do to connect with your inner child, to give them that love and that acceptance. You can write letters to them. You can write letters from them to your adult self. You can write letters to your parents or abusers, not to give to them. You know, tear the letters up or burn them. The letters just for your benefit so that you can write down, you know, how you're feeling, and maybe bring closure to traumatic events. You can also see if you can get hold of a picture of yourself before you were seven and put it somewhere, such as in your wallet or purse or on your fridge, somewhere where you're going to see it regularly. As I said, starting on Saturday, I have a four-week program, which is an inner child program. It's a group program, and it consists of four group coaching sessions. All the sessions are recorded, so if you miss a session, you can watch the recording back. You can also download the recordings and keep them to watch back at a later date. I have a Facebook group where I've put lots of content to help with emotional eating, negative self-talk. There's going to be weekly exercises and a workbook. We're going to be looking to reintegrate all ages of the inner child, from infant to adolescent, as I said, to give the inner child self-love, self-acceptance, to make them feel safe. Doing this kind of work can reduce anxiety, increase self-esteem, increase confidence, control your impulses, reconnect with emotions, obviously help to stop emotional flashbacks. And on my website, I'm going to share a link to my website with you right now. If you go to my website, which is the second link I just posted in the chat box, you can get access to the Inner Child program for just £99, which is a special price. If you go through Meetup or Eventbrite, I believe I've listed it on there for £225. So if you go to the link I just shared with you in the chat box, you get a big discount on that program. Well, people who've done the program previously have said, again, you can find this feedback on the website also. Everyone who comes to my workshops, I offer a free 1 hour session. So if you're interested in discussing hypnotherapy, discussing hypnosis, seeing how it can help you, you can book a call with me via the first link I shared in the chat box. Also, if you've got any questions about the Inner Child program, book a call with me via that link. So who wants to try some hypnosis? Let me know in the chat box if you'd like to try some hypnosis. Yes, excellent. Yes. And have you been to my workshops before? Let me know if you've come to my workshops before. The links are in the chat box again. Excellent. Okay, so if you've been to my workshops before, I'm sorry, but you're going to know these exercises that I'm going to share with people now. So your mind can't tell the difference between a real or an imagined event. So just by imagining yourself the way you want to be, you actually start to create new neural pathways in the brain, and you can start to become that person. So to prove this to you, I'd like to show you some exercises now that show you the power of imagination. So what I'd like you to do to start off with is to hold your hands out in front of you, like so. Turn your left hand with your palm facing up. Keep your right hand with your palm facing down. Take a deep breath in. As you breathe out, allow your eyes to close. And with your eyes closed, I'd like you to just imagine that we've placed some heavy books in that left hand. And those books are weighing down on the left hand. To your right hand, we've tied some helium. Those helium balloons are floating up, taking the right hand with them. So the left hand is lowering down and the right hand is rising. Just imagine that happening. Just imagine the left hand lowering down and the right hand rising up. Then leaving those hands where they are, open your eyes and just notice if there's any difference between those hands. If there's a difference between those hands, let me know in the chat box. Different positions. Yep. Excellent. Super. Okay, another exercise. Another exercise. Again, taking a deep breath in. As you breathe out, allowing your eyes to close. And with your eyes closed, I'd like you to just imagine that you're walking into your kitchen. And there on the side in your kitchen is a big bowl of juicy citrus fruits. Could be oranges, lemons. Some people like grapefruit. Others like lime. Like to just imagine picking up one of those fruits safely and securely, placing it on a cutting board. And then safely and securely taking a knife and cutting into that. And as you're cutting into that fruit, those juices are squirting out. They're flowing down onto the cutting board. And the citrusy smells are filling the air. Imagine that happening. And then cutting into it again, creating a nice bite-sized wedge. Those juices flowing out, flowing down onto the cutting. And then picking up that wedge of fruit and lifting it up towards your mouth, placing it in your mouth, biting down on it. And those citrusy flavors are exploding in your mouth. Those juices are exploding in your mouth and running down your face, and dripping off your chin. Just imagine that happening. And then when you're ready, open your eyes. And if that exercise made your mouth water, let me know in the chat box. Excellent. Thank you. Fantastic. Excellent. Super. So this is the power of your imagination. As I said, your mind can't tell the difference between a real or an imagined event. This is why hypnosis can be so powerful at helping people to make positive changes in their life. So now we're going to do a little bit of, it's going to be more of a guided meditation today, just to relax. So hypnosis is not something that I do to you, it's something that I do with you, that I do with your cooperation. So as long as you listen to my voice, follow along with my instructions, you have no problem going into hypnosis. So what I'd like you to do now is to make yourselves comfortable. And when you're ready, taking a deep breath in. Breathing all the way down into your stomach. Breathing in, noticing your stomach rising as you're breathing in, falling as you breathe out. Noticing the air flowing in through your nose, going all the way down into your body. Any thoughts come into your mind, you can just notice them. Allow your attention to return to your breathing. Breathing deep. Seeing if you can notice yourself becoming more relaxed with the in-breath or the out-breath. Yes. Every breath allowing you to drift deeper, deeper, more and more relaxed, more and more at ease with every breath you take. Maybe noticing that tiny muscles in the top of your head just releasing, your forehead just flattening out, a relaxation flowing down into eyes, eyelids, down into your cheeks and your jaw. Down your neck, into your shoulders. If you like to shrug those shoulders up, release any tension. Relaxation flowing down your arms, into your hands. I'd like you to choose a hand. Make a fist with that hand, tense that hand. As you're tensing that hand, I'd like you to imagine yourself sending any stresses, any strains, any tensions or anxiety into that hand and making that hand tighter and tighter. So you send more and more of that stuff into that hand. That's right. More and more of that stuff is going into that hand. And then when you're ready, you can just release that hand. Imagine that stuff just flowing. That relaxation increase. Flowing down your body. Flowing down into your legs. All the way down into your feet. Just listening to my voice. Any other sound you hear can allow you to become even more relaxed. Your conscious mind can drift and dream as your unconscious begins to take more and more. And the unconscious is always there looking to protect you, keep you safe. The unconscious knows just how much to hold on, how much to let go. Having faith in that part of that part of you is responsible for your heartbeat, breathing. You relax more and more. These things are going to start to slow, allowing you to be even more relaxed, even more at ease. The unconscious does these things without you needing to worry about it. Even notice. Just allow that part of you to Take more and more control. In a moment, I'm going to count from 10 down to 1. As I'm counting from 10 to 1, you can allow your physical body and your conscious mind to relax even. At the same time as I'm counting from 10 to 1, I'm going to count from 1 to 10. As I'm counting from 1 to 10, you can allow your unconscious to release anything that you want to let go of. Anything that you want to release can be released by your unconscious mind as you relax deeper and deeper. So begin counting 10, 1. And as a person starts to enter a state of trance, a state in which positive change can occur. 9, 2. They can become aware of things. These things can let them know that the changes are occurring unconsciously. And 8, 3. You may become aware of the tiny muscles in your arms and legs twitching as they release any tension. 7, 4. As they release that tension and that stuff that you want to let go of, you can become even more comfortable, even more relaxed. 6 and 5, your conscious mind and your body can become completely and totally at ease. 5 and 6, allowing that part of you to take complete control. 4 and 7. Could be almost as though there's a tiny voice in the back of your head telling you to just relax, relax, relax. And 4 and 8, drifting and dream. 3, 9, 2, 10. 1, going all the way down into the very depths of hypnosis, the very basement of relaxation. Now, just really enjoying that comfort, calm. Now, maybe you can start to consider how things could begin to change, how your life could begin to change if you were to start to allow just a little bit more relaxation every day becoming more and more relaxed, more and more at ease. Maybe you can imagine a future version of feeling calm and comfortable, totally and completely relaxed. Stepping into that future version, seeing through their eyes, feeling what you feel, noticing how good it feels to be so relaxed and so comfortable. Then in a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. And when I reach number 5, you can come all the way back to the here and now, noticing how good you feel. 1, allowing the feeling to return to your feet. Maybe you'd like to wiggle those toes. 2, as that energy flows up your body. free, flowing down your arms, into your hands. Maybe you'd like to wiggle those fingers. Four, and on the next number, you can open your eyes, coming all the way back to the here and now. Five, eyes open, wide awake, and maybe you'd like to stretch and yawn. Just noticing how good you feel. If you like that, let me know in the chat box. Some people struggle to relax. When I first started listening to hypnosis, I struggled to relax as well. As I said, you know, just allowing yourself to go along with my instructions. So I used to have trust issues and I didn't trust people. But if you know, there's that part of you that's always there, the unconscious is always there looking to protect you and keep you safe. And you know, start to realize that and have faith in that part of you, it becomes easier to relax. Excellent. So, in the chat box, once again, I'm going to paste those links. So, the first link is to book a free call with me to discuss one-to-one therapy, to discuss the inner child program, to see if there's anything I can help you with. The second link is to sign up for the inner child program. As I said, you can get it for that discounted price via my site. The third link is to my Facebook group. That's my free group where you can sign up. You'll find information to help with anxiety. I try and post in it regularly. The fourth link is to my YouTube channel. As I said, this video has been streamed to my YouTube channel. So if you want to watch it back, you can do so. You can also find previous workshops that I've streamed to my channel and uploaded to the channel. You can find all kinds of stuff there. My most popular hypnosis recording is my PTSD hypnosis recording, and you can find that also on my YouTube channel. Subscribe and you'll be notified in future when I live stream a workshop like this. Does anyone have any questions? Anything you'd like to ask me? Let me know in the chat box. Any questions? Anything at all? Thank you, Johnny. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, Tina. £99 in US dollars. Last time I checked the conversion, it was about $109. I'm not sure what the exchange rate would be right now, but yeah, it was about $109 when I checked that a couple of weeks ago. Thank you, Heather. I look forward to seeing you on the course. And thank you, Mike. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Also, to see future workshops, check the meetup and Eventbrite groups. I hope to see you all again soon. As I said, thank you very much for joining me.